Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, January 31st, last day of the month, 2018. We have 19 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we've got a small craft advisory for hazardous seas in effect through this afternoon. And southwest winds overall in the forecast, 5 to 10 knots. Wind waves from the southwest, 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and westerly swells, 11 feet high at about 12 seconds apart. And chance of showers on land and at sea today. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about an event that happened this morning. If you were up early and the clouds were clear enough out of the way, you might have seen the super blue blood moon this morning, and it sounded like such an unusual thing. I thought we could talk about it a little bit, and a little bit about how the moon is used in celestial navigation. So mariners look to the moon at times for information that helps them tell where they are. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We've got 4 inbounders. We have 5 in the Astoria Anchorage, and we have 3 in the Rice Island Anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria on the Washington side of the river near Tongue Point. And in our outbounders, we've got 7 of those. But let's start with who's coming into the river today. We have the new Legend Ruby arriving from Los Angeles. She's headed to Vancouver, Washington. Could be picking up a cargo of bentonite clay, which I love to say is used in kitty litter. But it's a mineral that is used in many different uses because it absorbs liquids very well. It's even used to settle sediment out of wine in some cases. So it's quite widely used across the industry, across various industries. So she will pass Astoria around 8 a.m. You might see her in Vancouver by about 2 o'clock this afternoon. The Sea Falcon is arriving from Anacortes, Washington, headed for the Vancouver Anchorage. She'll pass Astoria around 3:30 p.m. You might see her in Vancouver by about 9:30 this evening. The Otto Banner, you might guess what the cargo is on that ship, is arriving from Tacoma, headed for Portland. She has brand new Hyundais on board. She'll pass Astoria around 5:30 p.m. You might see her at the Port of Portland by about 11:30 in the evening. The Star Kirkenes is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She could be going to the port there. Her cargo could be steel. So passing Astoria around 11:30 p.m., arriving in Vancouver maybe around 5:30 a.m. on Thursday morning. So as I've said before, we have ships traveling 24/7. On the river, and certainly all over the waterways of the world, at some time of the day or night, and somewhere, there's a ship traveling at any time of the day or night. In the Astoria Anchorage, these ships are getting to wait a little bit and stop moving around, which may be a welcome rest for them while they do other things on board. Ships in the Anchorage are generally awaiting the opening of a berth upriver, sometimes ships have to wait in line if there are other vessels ahead of them at the berth that they're going to. Sometimes they need to undergo inspections. Sometimes they have problems with those inspections. If you see the same ship sitting out there for weeks and weeks, sometimes they have issues. Sometimes you'll see, till they work them out, they have to stay there with paperwork and other things, customs, sometimes Coast Guard inspections. And sometimes vessels have mechanical problems, and the anchorages are a good place to wait for parts and get those things fixed. So at any rate, ships we have out there are not, I don't think they're having any problems. They're just waiting their turn. The Asia Greca is headed for Portland today to pick up wheat, leaving at 7:30 a.m. And could be in Portland by about 1:30 this afternoon. That leaves the Belle Plaine, the Consolidator, the Cavo Alcyon, and the Samoa awaiting orders. And in this rainy weather, ships that are loading wheat, depending on how intensely it's raining, they might have to stop what they're doing because they can only allow so much moisture in those cargo holds with that wet wheat before it becomes a safety issue and a quality of the cargo issue. You don't want that wheat sprouting and rotting on the way to its next port. In the Rice Island Anchorage, we have the Majorca headed for Calama to pick up corn, soy, or wheat. Leaving around 9 a.m., could be in Calama by 2 p.m. The Pegasus and the Petare are awaiting orders there, or Petani are awaiting orders in the Rice Island Anchorage. In our outbounders, the Atlantic Tramp is leaving Portland carrying wheat at about 11:30 a.m. She'll pass Astoria at about 5:30 p.m. outbound. The Anne is leaving Portland around noontime, passing Astoria outbound around 6. The MG Sakura is leaving Vancouver with wheat on board at about 2 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8 p.m. The Songa Hirose is leaving Portland carrying wheat at about 2:30. That would put her past Astoria outbound around 8:30. It takes about 6 hours to come downriver, although that depends. If a ship is going against an incoming flood tide, that could slow it down. If it's going on an ebb, it could make it go a little faster. So there are different factors, and also other ship traffic. Ships have to keep a certain speed on the river, a fairly low speed, because they are responsible for damage done by their wake, and the wake is the water churned up behind the ship because of its displacement as it goes through the water. So ships have to keep their wake, that turbulent water behind them, as unobtrusive or uninvasive as possible to other vessels on the river, and also to creating waves on the shoreline. So ships tend to travel fairly slowly on the river, much more slowly than they can travel out at sea. Next, we have the PRT Ace leaving Kalama carrying wheat at about 4:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9:30. The Tamini Prosperity is leaving Portland with soda ash on board at about 6 p.m., passing Astoria around midnight. And the Nicholas D is leaving Kalama with corn, soy, or wheat on board, heading out about 8 p.m. She could pass Astoria around 1 a.m. in the morning on Thursday. Well, I'm looking at an article from the New York Times here about the lunar eclipse and the super blue moon and all that stuff. It happened already. If you weren't up early, you wouldn't have had a chance to see it. And with our cloudy skies, we may not have seen it at all. But the west coast of the United States was, in theory, the best place to see it. So what was happening here? Why did it have all that names for just a full moon? Well, there's a lunar eclipse happening. And so the blood moon part of it is that in certain places on the planet, if you were looking at it, and I think you could have seen it here, the moon would have looked kind of dull red because of the eclipse happening. And so that's where the blood moon comes from. The blue moon means that it's the second full moon to occur in 1 month, and that's kind of unusual. And then the super moon means that the moon is closer to the Earth than usual, and sometimes it can make the full moon look really big, although I don't think that it was terribly noticeable this time around, but that term is used to describe the super moon. So that all happened, probably was done by about 6 in the morning here. So unless you were up really early, you probably didn't see it. But kind of an unusual event. Doesn't happen all that often, all three of those things together. The next total lunar eclipse will be on July 27th, but we won't be able to see it from the U.S. if you're in Africa, the Middle East, or India. But the next one that will be visible in the U.S. is on January 21st, 2019, so about a year from now. Though it won't be a blue moon, only a super blood moon. And I thought it would be interesting to talk about this on the Ship Report because the moon is a celestial body, and that means that it can be used to navigate. So the most obvious thing about the moon is that, like the sun, it comes up in the east and sets in the west. So if you're out there at night and you see the moon setting, you know that it's pretty much setting near the west. But here's another little tidbit about navigating with the moon. You can use the moon in certain phases to show you where north or south is. If you draw an imaginary line between the sharp points on a crescent moon, you know, the curvy crescent moon, and then continue that line down towards the horizon, if you're in the northern hemisphere, this point on the horizon indicates south. And if you're in the southern hemisphere, then it points to north. And it works best if the moon is high in the sky. So lots of little clues from our natural world to let us know what's going on if we know where to look. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.